Hello, and today we're speaking with OJ from the International Solidarity Movement. So hi, OJ.
Hi.
Hi, so thanks for speaking to us. So before we sort of get started asking you about some of your experiences actually in Palestine and getting there, I was wondering if you, for our listeners who may not be aware, if you could give us a very brief sort of Palestine history 101 kind of idea of what's happened and why it's such an important situation to pay attention to and things.
Well, the occupation of Palestine has been going on for such a long time now. I mean, since 1948, historical Palestine has been what's now Israel, and the West Bank and the Gaza Strip has been occupied by the Israeli military since 1967, and we're seeing that the West Bank, which is a much larger area than the Gaza Strip, is being diminished on a pretty much daily basis by the construction of the wall, which is eating deep into Palestinian land within the West Bank, creating fence stands and sectioning off Palestinian farmland from villages, Palestinian water wells, etc. Then in the Gaza Strip, which really is a tiny area of land, only about 30 miles long and as narrow as 4 miles from the narrowest point, it simply is separated from the West Bank. The situation there is really quite desperate, because it has now been under siege for 3 years, ever since the Hamas party was democratically elected by the people of Gaza in 2007. And the siege has been in place, an illegal siege, with the Israeli government, and also the Egyptian government is directly participating in the siege on Gaza by keeping borders closed. The Israeli government is keeping crossings closed and not allowing humanitarian supplies in, so that the entire population of Gaza, which is 1.5 million people, is not getting enough daily necessities. And because Gaza is on the Mediterranean coast, there is a blockade also by sea, which is why the Free Gaza Movement 3 years ago tried to at least symbolically break that siege by sea by bringing the first vessels to Gaza for 41 years. Now, they managed to do that, and they managed to bring a certain amount of humanitarian aid in and bring some international volunteers in. But it really was a symbolic act, successful on that level. But unfortunately, of course, the siege still goes on to this day. And it's something that really the international community needs to stand up and take action over, because the siege is going on day in, day out. Palestinian patients are dying because they cannot access treatment that could prevent death, that will prevent treatable illnesses, which are resulting in fatalities because hospitals do not have enough supplies, hospital equipment can't be maintained because spare parts can't get in because of the siege, and sometimes patients just need to get treatment abroad because also there aren't enough specialists in Gaza hospitals, and because of border closures, patients are not getting out for treatment as much as they need to. So you've got all this going on, and the severity of the situation is only heightened by the fact that the people of Gaza never really been able to even begin a recovery from the mass assault, so-called Operation Cast Lead, in December 2008 and January 2009, when there was indiscriminate carpet bombing going on throughout the entire strip for 22 days, and massive damage done to civilian infrastructure, leaving approximately 100,000 people homeless because so many civilian neighborhoods were targeted, entire neighborhoods were wiped out and razed to the ground, leaving families homeless, living in tents, living in the rubble of their former homes, or being absorbed by host families in surviving neighborhoods. And anyone would be forgiven for thinking that 18 months on, the recovery, the reconstruction process would be well underway, but it hasn't even begun, because amongst the banned materials that the Israeli government's preventing getting into the strip are building materials. So none of these homes have been rebuilt yet. Along with damage to hospitals and roads, etc. And if we go to the movement, when they joined the Freedom for Tilla, which tried to access Gaza a couple of weeks ago, amongst other humanitarian and medical supplies that they attempted to take into the strip were actually items like concrete, which they were again symbolically trying to bring in to make the point that these items are not getting in and they're so desperately needed by ordinary people there.
And I guess, because I think like myself, like many other people around the world, sort of saw what happened when those boats tried to get into Gaza directly without having to stop through an Israeli port. Can you tell me a bit about sort of your experiences on because you also went on a trip to Gaza by boat, what your experiences were like? And also, the Israeli military and the Israeli state has said that they attacked and they murdered people on that boat because they were attacked by people with guns and all kinds of things, also accusing them of being part of Al-Qaeda and whatnot. I was just wondering if there's also any, how you as a group sort of decided on how you would engage with the Israeli state if that kind of thing happened.
Well, I wasn't on the flotilla 2 weeks ago, so I can't speak firsthand about that. I just reflect on my experiences going on a free Gaza vessel in August 2008, which was the first free Gaza voyage, which was actually successful in reaching Gaza. I can only put that down to there being enough attention on that first voyage that the Israeli authorities just felt that they might as well let the vessels get in that time. We were, however, of course, expecting a negative reaction from the Israeli Navy, because prior to our sailing from Cyprus, the Israeli government had threatened to stop the free Gaza vessels. So we had to prepare for various scenarios, including being blockaded at sea, in which case we provisioned for 2 weeks. We wouldn't have just turned back to Cyprus. We would have stayed at sea and used that as an opportunity to bring more of a spotlight to the situation. We also had to be prepared for our vessels being effectively abducted at sea, which is something that the Israeli Navy has certainly done on many other occasions, whether it's with Gazan civilian vessels or is it something that had actually happened to subsequent Seagulls and Voyagers, the Israeli Navy has boarded Seagulls air vessels, even if they've been in international waters, and held all the passengers at gunpoint below deck, and then towed Seagulls air vessel into an Israeli port by one of their naval ships. So we had to prepare for that scenario, and we also had to be prepared for being physically attacked, which may have involved injuries, and may have involved vessel being damaged or even sunk. And I can speak for the group that went out on that first voyage on two different vessels, the Seagull and the Liberty, and on all the preparations, planning sessions that we had, would always make clear that we would be using non-violent methods. I can't speak for decisions made by people who were involved with the recent Freedom Flotilla, because I had no involvement with that particular project. Can just also reflect that even though we were fortunately allowed safe passage at that time, a Seagull vessel called the Spirit of Humanity was challenged at sea when it tried to come during Operation Castlet, and indeed shortly before that another Seagull vessel called the Dignity was attacked in international waters. That was in December 2008, that's the beginning of Operation Castlet, and they were bringing a lot of medical supplies for all the hospitals, which were obviously desperately short of those supplies when they were having to deal with such heavy numbers of casualties. And the Dignity was actually rammed by an Israeli naval gunboat. The gunboat just drove straight into the side of it and nearly sank it. And the passengers on board reacted to that situation totally non-violently, even in the face of, you know, being attacked in such a violent manner themselves. As for the attack on the Freedom Flotilla vessel, the Mavi Marmara, the Turkish flag vessel that was attacked in international waters 2 weeks ago on the 1st of June, the night of the 31st of May, which had Israeli commandos abseiled down deck from helicopters and opened fire on civilians on board. If any of the civilians felt it necessary to defend themselves, I personally can't criticize their actions, even though I myself have been involved in similar voyages where decisions were made that we would all act non-violently. I can't condemn people for defending themselves when they're being attacked and lethal force is being used against them.
So there's obviously a diversity of movements within Palestine, but what are the different sort of messages that they would like to get to the outside world?
I think the predominant message is that the occupation, which is an illegal occupation, has been going on for decades, that this needs to end, and that the international community must take urgent and immediate action to bring about the end of the occupation, because this is something which is long, long overdue. The nature of the occupation leaves Palestinian people feeling incredibly isolated, so I think it's really important for people around the world to to show solidarity with Palestinian people and to make links between their own organisations and organisations in Palestine, whether it's, you know, it could even just be small local community groups making links. It's all really important to people there on the ground. And something else which people really need to be doing back here in countries like the UK is engaging in the boycott, divest and sanctions campaign. Boycott Israeli goods, boycott goods coming from elite settlements in the West Bank which are labelled Israeli, and encouraging institutions here to divest from Israeli state, and encouraging also just generally raising awareness about the issue, which is gradually happening, but there's still so much sort of ignorance and misrepresentation of the situation.
Indeed there is, and so I think we're just going to wrap up now, unless there's anything else you'd like to add, but I'd like to thank you very much for taking the time to speak to us.
Thank you.